Welcome to Pastor Talk. Join us as we discuss the issues of the church and the matters of the heart. We pray that you will be encouraged and strengthened today as we join our host, international evangelist and longtime pastor, Tom Sears.
And welcome inside another edition of Pastor Talk. I'm Pastor Tom Sears, senior pastor of New Beginnings Church, located in Lost Creek, West Virginia. You can email me personally, pastorsears@gmail.com. Our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia. And as always, we encourage you to reach out. We would love to hear what God is doing in your life. Of course, if you have a question or a prayer request, we would love to join with you on those matters as well. Joined in studio here today, it's the largest group we have had. Typically, we have two. Sometimes we have one. One being Kevin Poth is back with us today for Pastor Talk. Also rejoining us, Daniel Johnson and Jeff Bennett. So we have a full house and a jam-packed program for you. Hopefully it will be beneficial to you. I was informed of a praise report, really, that came from our program. Someone was really, really blessed, and I'll leave those details out. But it's really nice to hear feedback about how God is using the program to touch people's lives. So we're really excited about that, and really that's what it's all about. We want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. We record this on the 23rd day of December. And, wow, another year has passed us by. This morning at New Beginnings Church, I had the opportunity to speak to our congregation about how we leave the best gifts unwrapped. Or left wrapped, I guess maybe you should say. But, you know, in Isaiah chapter 53, we're told about what Jesus Christ went through in order to provide us, mankind, with the best gifts. And it's very unfortunate because what happens is we take it for granted. The wrapping paper is not the prettiest. The box is not the best. At least it doesn't look that way. If you think about what Jesus went through to keep us, to help us, to provide us peace, to provide us healing, to take away our transgressions and all of our iniquities. When you think about that, you're really taken back by the love that he has provided. The sad reality is that not everyone wants to open that gift. The gift is left unopened. Some people, which I find very sad as well, some people, well, they would rather open it, use it for a time, and discard them. I believe that the voice of the Father is saying to us today, listen, I provide you peace, I provide you hope, I provide you abundant life. Will you unwrap it? Will you open the gift? Will you accept the gift is really what it comes down to. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that choose not to do so. But if you're listening out there today, I just want to let you know that God has a plan for your life. God has amazing things for you if you will just open the gift. It's a precious gift. What he went through was not beautiful. How he was born into this world, it's not the perfect birth story. And obviously his death, well, it wasn't pretty either. Gentlemen, welcome to Pastor Talk. I want to thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure and an honor. Is it true, Kevin, that we're leaving the best gifts left unopened?
Yes, it is. We get caught up in glitz and glamour and what looks pretty when, like you said, the best gifts don't look, the wrapping paper is not the prettiest, but they are the greatest gifts. We do overlook them, unfortunately.
And it's, you know, it's the peace that he provides us, that peace that surpasses human understanding. It's the love that he gives us. It's the hope for mankind, Jeff, and we leave it pushed to the side. So many of us don't fully dive into everything God has for our lives. We push it away, and I think it's unfortunate. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's, as you say, completely unfortunate that we, here we are, we have one life, one amount of time, and everybody, you look around, you look into people's faces, you look at people's Facebook posts, you look at, you know, your coworkers that you go and talk to, people that you run into. So many people are just broken and, you know, a sad countenance. And it doesn't have to be that way. He's right there to take our burden, to take everything that's weighing us down. And even worse than that is, you know, those people that do press in to God, that have a relationship with him, and then they don't share it with others. Here you are, you know, sitting in a church or, you know, off secluded, separating yourself from the people that need him the most. Mm-hmm. People, you know, that they're broken, they're waiting, they're, somebody tell me, they're desperate, they don't have any hope, and they're looking for somebody to give them hope, give them a reason to believe. And so often we're silent, and maybe we're silent because we're looking for that hope ourselves, because we're not pushing into his presence.
Daniel, any thoughts?
Well, talk about presence and the gifts and stuff like that. You know, Christmas is just become so heartless of a season that, you know, we do things because it's Christmas, or, you know, we're just acting out of a system that has been put in place in front of, over the time that we choose to recognize Christ, you know, for what he's done. And it's all become, you know, just about money. It's about what we think people want. And here we waste life. And, you know, like Jeff was saying, this one life that we have, we're wasting it on things that we think we want, or what we think someone else needs. But in part, you know, the world is full of that stuff. It's everywhere. But yet we're still broken and empty at this time of year. And if people would just choose to pick up what Christ laid down, which is his very life, the kingdom of heaven had come down to earth. And it wasn't his flesh, and it wasn't, you know, the things that we think. It was the Spirit of God. We freely have we can access his gifts through the Spirit of God. But a lot of times we want the gift, but we don't want the Spirit of God. Because if we take the Spirit of God, then he is holy, then we have to be holy. So we, you know, it comes down to the heart. We don't want the things of God. We don't want to open the peace, because it's going to cost us something in the long run. It's going to cost us that we have to change, and we have to, you know, we have to. You think about someone getting a present. You know, you get it on Christmas, and you buy someone something that chances are they're not going to need, or, you know, or maybe not even want. It's God's Spirit that is the main gift, where all those other gifts are given to us.
You know, that's exactly right. It's God's Spirit within us and around us that, Kevin, that he wants us to see. Those are the best gifts. It's what he's trying to give us of himself. I think maybe that's a good way of saying it. He's trying to give us of himself that a lot of times we're leaving unwrapped.
It's his presence. It's his out of his love that he's wanting to give us the forgiveness, the healing, the mercy, the grace. It's his character that he's wanting to give us. Because he knows our sinful nature. He knows how we are. And he still loves us.
Yeah.
But he loves us enough to want to change us and to make us better and to make us more like him. And that's only found through his spirit.
Yeah.
Too many times we want the flashy stuff.
The gifts. I mean, like the
spirit. The gifts of the spirit.
Yeah.
Which are more of an outshowing. But the initial gifts that he wants to give us is an inpouring that changes our lives, changes our character, changes our being.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, I think he's right. A lot of times we focus on what others can see, you know, how God uses us, you know, in a public type ministry. But really what God's trying to do, I think, is he's trying to get us to unwrap the gifts in our lives that deal with us one-on-one, alone, that make us better individuals, better people, better Christians.
When you tear it all away, when everything, all the wrapping paper is in the trash, all the boxes are cleared out, and you're just down to what's left. All the family members have gone back to their homes. That's the core. And that's where God wants us. That's where so many of us are missing out. We're worried about the family members and the food and having the right wrapping paper and the right setting of the songs and all these secondary things. And we miss what's primary. And that's exactly what Daniel said, the Spirit of God. That's, we've got to lose our nature and get his nature. And there's only one way there, and that's through Christ. And it's not through secondary things about Christ, but actually knowing him, actually spending time with him, and actually obeying him.
Let's take a look at Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, for he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. Land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see all the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he has numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. When I read that, I think about his pain. I think about his suffering. I think about what he went through, and he did all of that for us. During this Christmas season, during this Christmas time, I feel that it's very appropriate for us to really focus on what we have been calling in this program the best gifts. And when you think about peace, the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He's got peace wrapped up for us. He's willing to give peace of mind, peace to our families, peace to our relationships, peace to a nation, peace to this world. Unfortunately, we walk by and we leave it unopened. We leave it unwrapped. And I believe that it grieves the Spirit of God. Daniel and Jeff, you both referenced the Spirit of God. It grieves the Spirit of God when we don't allow him to do in us what he wants to do. But he's a gentleman. And he doesn't force himself on anyone. He's a gentleman.
He's crying out, "Why don't you take it? I came from heaven above to this earth,
yeah,
and suffered so much for you. Why don't you take it? Yes, there are changes to be made, but I'm going to be there to help you make those changes. It's not like you have to make all the changes before you can open this box."
Yeah.
Or open this gift. "I came that you could have this gift. You don't have to earn it. It's with all the other gifts. I'm giving it to you."
Yeah.
"Salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. I died as you. I took your sins. I took your transgressions. I took everything about you on my back. And I died as you." That those things would be put in the grave and would not have to surface again.
It's easy to forget, to get caught up, whether it's in our lives, whether you're a person that's living your life and you're not concerned with God, or whether you're a person that, you know, as a faithful churchgoer, and you've let yourself get concerned more with the religion and just the rituals of church and the things that good church people do. It's easy to forget about Christ on that cross and to forget all the things that he set us free from. Because when you are set free, you want to tell people, you want to let them know there's a passion there, there's a fire there. Look what this God, this King did for me. Look how he changed my life. And this can be yours too. This, I'm nobody special. Like, and you know, maybe some other time we can get into testimonies and things, but I've done a lot of wicked things, and Christ took them all and buried him, and he's given me new life. And that new life, you know, when I focus on him and I think about it and I think about the places I've been, and you know, I remember one Christmas Eve that my simple prayer was, "Oh my gosh, God, don't let me die tonight because of the choices I made so that my family has to find me dead on Christmas morning." And to be set free from the things that he set me free of and to walk in that newness of life, if we can focus on that drives you to want to share those best gifts with others, to live in a way that they can see him in you, and to live in a way that you can impact them and hopefully draw them to him and to his love.
You know, here on Pastor Talk, we try to have a conversation. We've often said that it's not scripted. We do have, you know, things we want to talk about. We came in knowing what we wanted to talk about for the program today. but that we want to give God his the freedom that he deserves to allow his spirit in. Now, I feel his spirit, and I feel this unctioning, and it's amazing to me because we want what we do here to matter to someone. I was encouraged, Kevin, you shared a testimony. We won't get into it, but you shared a testimony of someone who was impacted by our program, and I've had others, and I feel led to give Jeff a little leeway to, you know, you're only able to be here, you know, a couple times a month. Your job pulls you away. And I feel like your testimony, because I know it well, is a very powerful testimony. And I want to give you the freedom to take that where you feel led to take it. And part of what we do is trusting God to give God his place, to let him have control. So I'm going to take a step back and let you go with it where you feel God wants you to go with it.
Thank you for that. And I'll try to be relatively brief, but I've grown up, obviously, I attended this church from the time I was two. My mom started me bringing me here, and so I've got a lot of history with this place. And for whatever reason, you know, by the time I was seven or eight, like, God's always been very real to me, very close relationship. He's always, you know, mattered. And I remember a youth camp, 12 years old, deciding to be baptized and make a serious, you know, public commitment to the Lord. And tried to continue on through that, and you know, I was kind of dedicated, kind of not, through my schooling years, but for the most part was pretty focused as well as I could be. Stayed out of trouble, tried to do, like I mentioned, those right things. And then for whatever reason, kind of got into a neutral place with God. And there is no neutral place with God. I was deceiving myself. You're either going towards him or you're going away from him. There's no holding pattern. And so started, you know, getting into alcohol and partying a little bit. And pretty much that became my life. That was all I wanted to do, was go around, party, and do drugs. And basically try to numb my mind, because I still couldn't escape. I knew what was right. You know, there was no escaping God. So needless to say, that kept on for about 2 years, and almost died one time, came pretty close, and then a few other times that I definitely shouldn't have made it through. But you know, I can only credit God that he was watching over me. And made the decision, just felt, I remember being all depressed one day after doing some mushrooms. I guess that's a common thing, is heavy depression afterwards. And for whatever reason, I decided to look up and was like, you know, God, what do you even think of me when you look down? And I just remember the clouds clearing. It was overcast, a little bit of sun coming down. And I knew immediately I had to call. Danny Knight was my pastor here at the church at the time. And I called Dan, and I said, man, I'd like to come pray with you or talk to you if I could. And he's like, sure. So came over here and we prayed together in the office. And, you know, I told him everything that was going on, everything had been happening. We prayed together, and for like probably 3 or 4 solid days, like, people could physically see, like, a difference in me, like, a glowing, a, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as we were done praying, like, so much burden came off of me. And, you know, I was on fire for God and wanted to do nothing but serve him. And stayed pretty focused. And then two years fast forward down the road, and I decided one night I'd broke up with a girl, and I decided to feel sorry for myself and buy a bottle of Crown. And that led to another 2 years of heavy partying, heavy drug use, just all sorts of wicked living, and cost me a job at the post office, a lot of heartache and destruction to family members and people around me that cared about me, that just couldn't believe, you know, like, you already did this once in your life and you almost died and you've been serving God and focused, and what are you doing? Why are you throwing everything away? And I don't have any good answers for that other than I was listening to the flesh. You know, I lost sight of what he did. I lost sight of the things he had set me free from. And this has been about, let's see, I've been married for 9 years. Yes, I know that. And so we dated a year, so that's 10 years. It's been about 10 years, 10 and a half, since I've had any sort of drug use or drinking or just, you know, the things I'd been doing, the really out there in the open sins. You know, let me be very clear. I've got plenty of sins and faults that I struggle with and deal with, and God continues to break those things, and he sets me amongst wise counsel that if I can let loose of enough of my pride to listen to, that he continues to change me and mold me. But it's, you know, I'm very thankful for where he's brought me and what he's set me free from. And sometimes, you know, I see people that I used to run around with, and, you know, some of them in jail, some of them dead, some of them, you know, just some of them completely out of their minds because they did, you know, one too many drugs and they just never came back. And it's like, you know, that clearly could be me. And I get kind of offended when I see people, especially Christians, you know, so quick to talk about, you know, how horrible these people are that are on drugs and what scumbags, and we need to do this to all of them and we need to do that to all of them. And I would never Narcan anybody. I would never do, you know, man, like, yeah, I get it. It, you don't, you know, we're all paying money and nobody wants to see their money wasted, blah, blah, blah. I get that, but there's got to be some love and there's got to be some compassion to reach out. I mean, there's people all around this county, all around this state, like, struggling, that need help. And it's frustrating to see people professing Christ not, you know, so quick to throw the stone. And I don't know, from my position, I know that some of those people out there, you know, wasted and out of their minds, that God can take that life and he can do something beautiful with it. And I really feel like I'm no great shining example of, you know, Christianity, but I try to walk my best. I try to be close to him. I try to, you know, focus on my personal relationship. I try to love my wife and raise my children to know him. And, you know, if that's not worth saving and if that's not worth caring about, then I don't really know what is.
Wow. It's amazing to me because I've heard your testimony many, many times. And, I'm always taken aback by it, you know, just to think of where your life was and you know, the things that you were involved in, and to know that we serve a God that can bring a person from that place. And, you know, I guess, ladies and gentlemen, what we're hoping for today is that you see that no matter where you are or no matter what you're going through, there is a God who is able to supernaturally pull you from that place if you are willing to open the gift. And it is a gift. It definitely is. Gentlemen, the program's kind of taken that turn like it does every week. There's, you know, there, that point where God kind of, you know, takes it over. Either one of you, when I say either one of you, Kevin, Daniel, either one of you interested in sharing your testimony or what God's done in your life? I feel like we're talking about unwrapping the best gifts, and I think maybe people should know that in this room are four guys that that are here simply because we said yes that we would unwrap it. And honestly, we continue to unwrap his gifts in our lives just to be able to stand daily on his power and his strength.
Part of my testimony, I've been at this church since I was 3 years old. That's 39 years now.
Wow.
I've been here through three pastors. I've seen more people come and go than I can literally count. One of the things that, and I'll be totally honest with it, was porn. And fought many, many, many years with it. And one night God said, that's enough. And he literally supernaturally set me free in the blink of an eye. It wasn't no 12 steps. It wasn't no free disc for 3 days or no, it wasn't a program.
Yeah.
To put it in short. And the amount of weight taken off my shoulders is almost indescribable. For people who don't know me, I'm 6'4 and almost 400 pounds. And to feel like a feather on your feet is almost impossible.
Yeah.
It's just that changing. But, like Jeff said, there was a point in time that I fell back to it. Mm-hmm. But God is bringing me out. I didn't appreciate the instantaneous set free. I didn't appreciate it. I took it for granted. God is now leading me out, walking with me. I now know that he's not condemning me for it. He's convicting me of it. He's saying that it's wrong. But he's not condemning and passing judgment on me because I've had to fight with this. It is helping me to appreciate his power, his love, his grace, and his mercy. The fight has gotten easier. And I want to encourage those who are dealing with an addiction of any sort to not condemn yourself if you slip and if you fall. If you get to the place that you slip and fall and you don't care anymore,
that's a bad place.
That's a very dangerous place.
Yeah.
But if you're honestly seeking God and seeking to get out, he will be there to walk with you, to bring you out. The instantaneous is possible if you're willing to surrender everything and allow him to show you. I didn't appreciate that. So he's leading me out. And I give him all the glory. If it wasn't for that struggle and his grace and his mercy, I don't know where I would be right now, even though I literally grew up in church.
Yeah.
I just can't give him enough glory and honor and praise for what he has brought me through personally.
You know, number one, that's not easy to do what he just did, to talk about that. That's not easy. I hope the message that is being conveyed from this program and from all of our programs is that we're just four guys today that are real and facing real struggles, real problems. That, and these, you know, you heard Jeff's testimony of addiction, and Kevin's of addiction. And those, whether it be drugs, alcohol, or pornography, they all exist in the church. It's not, you know, even on this program, if you listen to our last several programs, we take a hard line stance about how important it is to get back to where God wants us to be. But sometimes we fail to mention that between us and that place that God wants us to be are those things that we're talking about right here. Those are the things that are preventing us from getting to a place where God wants us to be. And it's something we should be talking about. It's something we should be looking at. It's just the same. We should be talking about his power to deliver and his power to set free. And I guess maybe I should share something. I'll share a battle that I have fought from the time that I was a very small child. Now, if you attend New Beginnings Church, you have heard me talk about this. But it's real. And I feel deep within my being, very, very strongly, that someone needs to hear this. Kevin, just like someone needed to hear what you said, and Jeff, someone needed to hear what you said, I'm going to believe, and I feel it within me, that someone needs to hear this. From the time I was a very small child, I have fought something called fear. Fear is crippling. Fear paralyzes you. Fear puts a movie up in your mind. It tells a story. It shares thoughts. Again, the word paralyzed comes to mind. It paralyzes you. It prevents you from going and being the person you're supposed to be. Now, I have feared my entire life things I could not control. I have feared illness. I have feared sickness. When I got married and started having children, the fear got worse. Because now I'm not fearing me or about me or things about me. I'm fearing things that could happen to my wife or things that could happen to my children. Many were irrational fears. No evidence, nothing of anything being wrong, but fear told me a different story. And if you're listening and you battle fear, you know that's what happens. Fear tells you a story, and you listen to it long enough until you believe it. I remember one night at 2 a.m. sitting in my, and this is probably 6, 7, maybe 8 years ago, I don't know. But I sat in the floor. It's 2 o'clock, 2 something in the morning. Everyone in the house is in bed. And I've convinced myself that I have a physical condition, an illness that's deadly. And I convinced myself, because symptoms were arising. What I know now was that they were arising because of the stress that I was putting myself under with the fear. Stress is a killer, ladies and gentlemen. It's a killer. And I remember praying, and I said, God, if this is what you want, because I was convinced. And it seems so silly to talk about, but I don't know. Someone needs to hear this. I said, God, if this is what you want, I'll accept it. Just help me get my affairs in order and take care of my family. I mean, I was, fear was so bad. This is Pastor Tom, by the way. You know, I've been at this church for going on 13 years. This was Pastor Tom. I was pastoring this church when I sat down in the floor of my home as a husband and a father and a pastor, and I began to pray and say, God, if this is what you want, I would walk whatever road you want me to walk. Just let me get my affairs in order and take care of my family. Now, think about that. Think about where the mind has to be emotionally, mentally. And I could just remember him like, what the memory I have is kind of like, are you serious right now? Like, are you being serious with me? Because like, I never said any of this, you know, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm not trying to ruin you. I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm trying to give you hope, and I'm trying to give you a future. And then, of course, I go through that cycle of repenting. But I remember the fear was so real. And I remember praying one night, and I said, God, your word says that perfect love casts out fear. And I know there's this theological discussion about this because some people have their, you know, feelings on this. But I can only tell you the experience that I had. And I said, your word says, I don't know if you've ever done that. You start telling God what his word says, like he needs to be reminded. But I said, your word says that perfect love casts out fear. What's going on here, Lord? And as clear as anything I've ever felt spiritually in my life, I knew he was saying to me, my love is perfect, but yours is not. That was a bit of a wake-up call. I sit here now. I can't say that there are not moments where I fear, because I do. I do. But I can tell you that gripping, crippling fear he has set me free from, and I'm not anytime soon planning to accept it back into my life, because it is miserable. It is awful. It is not fun. I am not a person looking for anyone's sympathy. I'm not a person looking for someone to pat me on the back and tell me how great I am or I'm praying for you. It was not an intention getter. It was real. It was as real as anything. And, you know, the Bible talks about familiar spirits. And I've told people this before. You know, sometimes we don't realize that we revert back to the things that are most familiar to us. And for me at the time it was fear. I know that sounds so crazy and so silly, and I'll just use the word stupid. But we revert back to what's familiar to us, Kevin, don't we? I mean, that's kind of what I experienced in my life, is we run back to what's familiar.
Don't they call that the Stockholm syndrome?
I don't know. You tell me, doctor.
Where it happens a lot to kidnap victims, that they're taken and they're put in a situation, they're abused, and they're there for so long it becomes the familiar thing for them. And when they're found and they're rescued, they tend to want to go back to that because it was familiar for so long.
Yeah.
And when you're in the pit, and there doesn't seem to be the way out, you do tend to be some minute level of comfort in it, because you know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to happen this way, this is going to happen that way,
yeah.
This is where my mind goes. You have a little bit of expectancy and a far-flung definition of normality. Your pit becomes what's normal. And it takes effort to get that out of your mind. The Lord can take that false normality out of your mind and give you the truth. Mm-hmm. That you don't have to be in that pit anymore. When he opens the prison door, that you can actually walk out of that cell. You don't have to stay in the 8x10 concrete bed. You can walk out. And that's one of the gifts that he wants to give to you. That's one of the reasons he died for you, that you can have that freedom, that you don't have to live in that prison of transgression and iniquity anymore, that you can walk in his freedom.
Amen.
Jeff's experienced, I've experienced, you've experienced it. A lot of times we're afraid to walk out that door because I've been here for so long. I know what this is like. I know what's coming. I know what time they serve the meals. I know what kind of meal to expect. And, but he wants to take us out and just give us so much.
Yes, he does.
He paid such a price that we can have that freedom. Unfortunately, too many times we sit in that cell. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I know what this is like. I'm comfortable here. Too many times we're too afraid to be uncomfortable.
Jesus.
We're too afraid of change. But with that change is such freedom. Imagine having a life sentence to be stuck in an 8x10 concrete cell. You see daylight only 1 hour a day. There was no hope for you to get out. But someone else came along and said, I'll take your place. You can walk out of here free. I'll take your sentence for you. All you have to do is walk out that door. But so many times we stay in that cell. The door has been ripped off. I mean, they can't put it back. That door has been destroyed. But still, we want to stay in that cell because it's where we feel safe and where we feel comfortable. But he, the Lord, is not going to yank you out of the cell. He's not going to grab you by your shirt and throw you out. I figure sometimes he'd like to, just because of the price he's paid and his boldness, but he is also a gentleman and he will not force you. He's not going to throw you out into the world by yourself. Outside of that cell, people that have been in prison for many, many years don't know how to cope with the outside world anymore because it's passed them by.
Yeah.
But we have an advocate with the Father that when we walk out of that cell, we're not walking through this world alone anymore. It doesn't matter what the world has gone and passed them by in their experience. The Lord will walk with you. He'll help you through this world. And that's what he wants to do for each and every one of us, no matter what our prison cell is. There hasn't been one built strong enough to keep anybody in. If he says you're free indeed.
Amen.
And he just is inviting us. Each and every person on this earth, he's inviting us to walk out of that cell and to walk with him. And I encourage you not to be comfortable in that cell anymore. There is freedom, there is hope, and there is that opportunity if you will accept.
Yeah, we shared our testimonies, and I've often told myself I would write a book, because Tom was talking about the addictions and the different struggles that people have. So I always told myself I was going to write this book called Cigarettes and Porn, and because all the things that I'd ever done when I decided to turn to call out to God. You know, I always reference the never-ending story, call my name, Bastion. And so call out to God and repent and ask for his forgiveness, ask for his deliverance, ask for his help. All those things fell off immediately. Except for cigarettes and porn. And that was always, those were the only things I ever considered an addiction and a stronghold of the enemy in my life. And it's exactly what you're talking about, that level of comfort that going back, you know, life gets stressful, problems arise, and when you're not running to the Father, when you're not taking your burdens to Him, you turn back to those things that are comfortable, those things that are familiar, and you use them. But it's a trick of the enemy. It's always been his lie that there could be anything that could take the place of God, that could meet your needs in any meaningful, sustainable style.
Daniel?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about fear just for a second, but, you know, I'd experienced fear, you know, along my, you know, journey. And, but, you know, if you think about fear, how simple it is, it's a person that values that they're going to suffer loss for something they value. That's where fear comes from. And my question is if we fear for our lives, we fear for our families, and we fear for all this stuff that we're going to lose, do we fear that much that we're going to lose the Spirit of God? You know, that's a question. You know, we never sit around and suffer fear because, you know, we're going to lose God. You know what I mean? I mean, I know it's a simple concept, and it's something that we never think about, but do we panic? Do we go into an anxiety attack because there might be a chance that we lose God? We're fearful for our lives, and what that says about us is we are so selfish that we're only focused on the things that are not ours in the first place. You know, our lives are going to perish. Our families, you know, they're only here for a short period of time, just like we are. But the Spirit of God is eternal. You know, it's something that we can have for eternity. But yet, where there's no anxiety of losing the Spirit of God, you know, the promises of God, and not only losing the Spirit of God, but losing our own soul. Where is the anxiety for that? And that's the only thing I have to say.
You know, it reminds me of a sermon I preached years ago at this point. I don't know how long ago, but I was talking about, you know, as a drug addict, you have withdrawals. You know, your body has grown dependent upon that foreign substance in your body. And, you know, as you start to break away from it, your body starts experiencing changes. And I remember posing the question years ago, asking the church, you know, when we don't read our Bible, when we don't pray, when we don't get into the presence of God, when we don't allow God to do what it is that He wants to do in our lives, do we experience any withdrawals? Do we experience any moments where we're, you know, shaking because we haven't got our, not because we haven't got our cup of coffee, but we haven't got our, you know, our Bible reading in or our quiet time with God? You know, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, is that life is moving so fast, and we do put a lot of value on things that are temporary. If you look around you, it's all temporary. The things that are eternal sometimes get neglected. We've been talking about that which are the best gifts, the things that Christ offers to His people, to the world, things that many times are neglected and remain wrapped up, remain unopened. We want to encourage you. Today's program, gentlemen have shared testimonies of what they've battled in their lives. We believe that God will use it for His glory. Their story, maybe it's like your story, or maybe it's like someone you know. There's hope, but it's free. You just have to accept it. You just have to say yes. Gentlemen, I want to give you the opportunity to to add any closing thoughts to anything you have that you'd like to say as we, believe it or not, wrap up today's program.
And fighting, that there is hope, that there is freedom, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He has purchased that freedom. He has taken your prison sentence upon his back. He gave his life to pay that sentence. And we invite you to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. There was no other God other than Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. If anyone comes in any other way through a window, they are a thief. And no thief shall have their place in the kingdom of God. So I encourage you, don't hesitate, don't procrastinate, because you don't know if you have another 10 minutes on this earth.
Yeah.
You don't know if you have the next 10 breaths while you're here. So I encourage you today, whenever you hear this, wherever you hear this, to invite him into your heart to be your Lord, to be your master, to be your Savior. And all you have to do is ask. And he is faithful and true to come into your heart, that you would repent of your sins, that you would turn away. And the word says all you have to do is confess him as your Lord and Savior. Invite him into your heart and allow him to do the work that he wants to do, to allow him to change your life, to change your world.
Amen. Gentlemen, anyone else?
I just want to ask one question. I don't want to answer his question because, we're talking about these stories. Jeff sounds a whole lot like my story. What would any of y'all say to someone that's sitting and saying, well, I don't do drugs. Well, I'm married. I have 3 kids. I take care of, I'm not out there doing all those things. What would the answer be, or the question that somebody's going to say, well, I don't do those things. So what's the difference between you now and me that I'm not doing the drugs? I never had a problem with pornography. There's someone listening that's in this situation that they're not bad off as I was or you were, Jeff. So what would be your truth to that?
You know, it's funny you mention that because I have a friend sometimes that I think about that life just always has gone well. You know, life, everything's worked out great. Everything, just all the pieces always seem to fall into place. And that's where you have to come down. It's truth. It still is truth. We have a tendency to categorize and, elevate some sins above others and, how great this sin is. But the truth of the matter is that my friend whose life is great, that lied one time, without Jesus Christ as his Savior, is going to an eternity in hell. And if we don't communicate that to them, they've got to understand we all fall under that sin nature, and that there's freedom and life outside of that. But that's, this God's Holy Spirit has to work on them. but he chooses to involve us in the process, you know. So reaching out to them, you know, that's the only thing I can let them know is that, wait, you're not understanding the whole picture. I know things are working out well for you here in time, and you may not really feel like you need a savior because you don't really feel that your life is that bad, but this is how we're going to be judged, and it's going to be according to these things. And there's not too many people I meet in this life that when you roll down that list of 10 commandments per se, that can say they haven't broken any of them. And if you've broken but one, you need Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's what I try to convey to them is that, look, and not only that, you know what I mean? It's like we're talking about the best gifts here in time. You know, it's not just that we, you know, not only has he promised us all of eternity and all the glory and riches of heaven and how great that's going to be, but we can live free here. Like, that's kind of the American cause for, you know, is freedom. And that's the cause of Christ, is he's set us free. We don't have to be a bondage and a slave. And sometimes, you know, I heard it said once that, I can't think of the man's name, but Satan gets us to view freedom as bondage and bondage as freedom. So there's a lot of people maybe who think that they're not bound. You know, life's going well. This is all working out. I fit in with the culture. I'm living the American dream, and I'm a pretty good, decent person. But they're not seeing that that's a trap, that really they're still in bondage, that they haven't been made free, they haven't been made alive. And my favorite analogy of all time is just, if you're not getting it, if you're not realizing what I'm trying to tell you about being reborn and having his spirit, go watch The Matrix. It'll help clear it up for you. It'll give you some idea of what I'm trying to get across to you. And the only thing I would like to say to the audience as a final closing thing for the program here is wish them all a very Merry Christmas. Love your families, and do what Saint Nicholas did and give your life to Christ.
Amen. Well said. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us up against the limit we have here as far as time is concerned. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is every single person. The difference between one who's on their way to heaven and one who is on their way to hell is that the one on their way to heaven has accepted the gift of salvation. They've accepted that precious gift from Jesus Christ our Lord. When you accept the gift of salvation, as Kevin so eloquently put it, what begins to happen is you're justified. When I read from Isaiah 53, we read that word, justify. And what that means is justification is just as if you had never sinned. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it really doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've been through. What matters is when the Father looks at you, he sees the Son. And that matters, because Jesus Christ went to the cross so that you didn't have to, as Kevin said earlier in the program. He paid the penalty. He paid the price to take all of our mess away. And we've all got a mess. I've often said we're broken babies in tremendous need of being put back together. He's the only one that can do that. I encourage you to unwrap the best gifts, the gifts that Jesus Christ has given to all of mankind. And sadly, some will never open. Don't be a part of that group. Open it. It's life. It's hope. It's health. It's peace. It's salvation. I'm Pastor Tom Sears. I am the senior pastor of New Beginnings Church in Lost Creek, West Virginia. Again, my personal email, pastorsears@gmail.com. Would love to hear how the program has impacted your life, or just a testimony to hear from you. Also, our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. I want to thank Kevin Poth, Daniel Johnson, and Jeff Bennett for joining us in studio today for Pastor Talk. And if you're listening to this before or around Christmas, we wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. This has been Pastor Talk. God bless.